your favorite fools here. You have Manny MUA and Laura Lee.
Laura Lee.
Laura Lee with full coverage.
And Tyler Dub.
Wait, I'm
Tyler Dub.
Tyler Dub.
I was literally getting there.
I'm sorry.
Let me tell you something about Tyler.
Tell me.
When I first met him, I remember I asked him to put his number in my phone. So I'm like, let me get the digits.
So you asked for his number first?
I'm sure I did.
I don't recall.
I'm also a super social person, though.
Yeah, like, and you're like,
friends,
you're
with
brave.
Someone, I'm like, give me your
totally
number.
The dig.
So I asked him to, and in my phone, he put Tyler Dub, D-U-B. And I said, why did you put that? And he goes, my last name's with a W, so I'm Tyler Dub. Hold on, the story gets worse.
Laura, this is a story I don't know, you guys. By the way, I don't know this.
Okay,
we're just getting right into the story.
We are. Wow. We're deep diving right in. Okay, what is the name in my phone for Tyler?
Tyler Dub.
I never changed it.
I have the exact name for you as well in my phone that you entered.
Laura Dub?
No, Laura Lee with a smiley face. You see it? Laura Lee with a smiley.
With a smiley.
She entered it in.
Not
like that.
An emoji, guys. This was so.
This was pre-emoji.
This is flip phone stuff. So it
this
was
is
the,
like, you guys, this is prehistoric.
It was colon and parenthesis.
This is.
Yeah.
Etched in.
This is etched in, you guys.
So now, you thought you were slick with that, huh?
Yeah, now I'm haunted for the rest of my life.
No.
Well, you still, you literally just said Tyler Dub.
Yeah.
So that's
a constant.
I think it's pretty cool.
It is cool.
I think that's a really cute way of doing it. Like, Dub as in W. Like, you could be like this, Tyler Dub.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Get the brow. Get the brow.
Don't.
Just wipe it clean off.
I would die.
Manny, you know how we're always looking out for the perfect drink, whether it's a cocktail or mocktail?
Mm-hmm.
I have two words for you. Taste salud.
Oh my God, Laura, are we telling our listeners our secret find this soon?
Yes, we can't gatekeep any longer. Mm-hmm. Okay, guys, picture this. The convenience of an on-the-go mocktail drink mix that's just waiting for a splash of tequila to turn it into a delicious cocktail.
That sounds like our kind of party. You know, obviously mocktails for me and cocktails for you.
Isn't the taste shocking? Their Paloma and Strawberry Margarita mocktails taste just like the real deal.
So the gag is, not only is the taste amazing, what about the fact that the calories? Okay, let's talk about the calories. Salud drinks mixes only have 1 gram of sugar and take the thinking out of the decision making. We're so done drinking our calories in 2024.
Yes, we are. Also, the thought of everything, taste, convenience, and all the added benefits like hydration, immunity in your cocktail.
Mm-hmm. It's a serious, serious game changer. So whether it's a cocktail with a kick or a mocktail that tastes like a dream for us sober dolls, Salud has us covered.
They're the absolute best. That's why Manny and me love them. If you're ready to try the best mocktails out there, head to tastesalud.com and use FULL10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Cheers to that, and honestly, cheers to authentic flavors. Let's drink to good taste and good health.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, what's our podcast about? Is it about Manny's shirt today?
I think so.
Guys, isn't that a fancy shirt? I told Manny to wear it without the undershirt.
He did.
And
he
that
did.
I would wear. I would just not even wear a shirt during the podcast.
He said, listen, if he wore this shirt with no undershirt, he would not wear a shirt.
And he wouldn't do it. And he wouldn't do it.
I'm not there yet. I'm getting there. Uh-huh. And I feel like I'm getting more fit, but I'm not there yet.
I think you're there.
No, I'm not. But thank you.
Tyler and Manny bicker like an 80-year-old couple.
Yeah, we bicker. And Laura's between us like, Jesus Christ, every fucking time.
Me and Ty bicker too.
We do.
Tyler's really easy to bicker with, though.
Common denominator here.
I don't bicker with Laura. I bicker with Tyler.
Wow.
Uh-oh. All
right, guys.
But today's podcast, by the way,
is
about, we thought it'd be kind of fun to do a little
deep dive.
I was going to say deep dive, but I didn't know if it was a deep dive.
I think so.
A shallow dive?
It's a dive into how to survive.
It's a dive 10s across the board.
No.
Olympic?
Yeah, no.
40 feet in the air dive?
Mm-mm.
Okay. It's a little dive of how to survive
your 20s.
Your 20s, because we've been through them. Survive.
We've accomplished the 20s. The 20s are done for. So
we barely accomplished 20s.
I knew we were going to do this.
We're years past your 20s now. Yeah. Sorry.
Are you going to do this whole podcast with the Invisalign in?
What's wrong with that?
You talk different. And it might be annoying.
Do I lisp?
A little bit.
Do I? You know what? A little bit, but it's so small.
All right. I'm going to show you guys how to
Tyler.
Don't do that.
You have to do the slurp. You have to, or else saliva will come out of your mouth. All my Invisalign users out there, tell me you don't do
that. Oh, I know. I had Invisalign.
You know,
quick and easy.
I just felt like heat in my throat. Like, that was rough for me. But when I, so I have like a permanent retainer at nighttime, but it doesn't like do that. Like,
you can put it, take it in and out?
Yeah.
And how's it permanent?
And you pop it out.
Yeah, how's it permanent?
Is that what I said?
You said a permanent.
Okay, retainer. I do have a permanent retainer on the bottom, but you can't take it out. Okay. I have a regular retainer at the top, and like at nighttime, I pop it in the morning, I pop it out, but there's no like extra saliva there.
Well, aren't you perfect?
Yeah. No, but I think it's because
mine is so drooly.
In the morning, though, like I'm pretty, my mouth's dry.
That's probably why. I don't know. I wear mine too all night. I can't remember what the scenario and you're like this. Is.
Oh my God. I didn't do that.
Yeah, you did.
I did not you really do all did. That.
Yeah. That's exactly what it sounded like. I'm sorry for our audio users.
Yeah, they all just tuned out when you did that.
No, it could be ASMR.
Oh God.
Could be.
It could be. But you guys, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to do our How to Survive Our 20s. None of us are in our 20s anymore.
Yeah, thank you.
We have passed.
Thank you.
We have slowly passed our 20s. Very slowly.
True.
Very slowly. But we've learned a lot.
And we have various topics that we want to like hit on rather than just like wildly going into this. Like we have
five.
Like we have five topics. It's money and work, love, friendship, family, fitness/food.
And those are kind of our five topics. And it's going to be nice getting different perspectives as a gay man, a straight man, a straight girl.
What were we saying the other day for me? I was going to introduce myself as a white,
a cis,
straight,
white cisgendered. Het.
Yes.
A cis white het.
There we go.
Man. Okay. And I'm like, can't wait to hear that perspective.
A very original perspective.
But no, I think that's what makes it kind of fun because it's like different rounds for each person.
Yeah.
Laura, I think that we should start with you.
Oh, okay.
I love doing that. I'm like, Laura, let's start with your thing. And it's, I think the first one should be like money/work.
Money.
Do you have a snippet about money/work?
I do, actually. In my perspective, I think your 20s are a time for hustle. I really do. And it's a time for making mistakes. It's a time for taking risks. It's a time for hustling. It's a time for figuring shit out. And that's what I think 20s are there for. You're supposed to, you know, make those mistakes and have more drama and make a lot of big life choices that have to do with work and money, because like you leave high school and like early into your 20s, you're like diving into your work career. And God knows what that may be, because I think it's a little bit different for every human out there. But at the end of the day, money and work will always be a part, like a huge part of everyone's life, you know? Whether you want it to be or not. And for me in my 20s, I couldn't get into college really as soon as I graduated high school because my GPA was so low. And I had to wait. I think I had to wait till I was like closer to 21, because then they don't consider your GPS anymore to get into college. GPA. Mm-hmm. See?
GPS. I'm calling,
Where are you at, girl?
I'm calling it a GPS, and the thing is, it's a GPA. So if that doesn't speak to me not getting into college out of high school, I really don't know what else will.
Absolutely.
I don't.
I had a great GPS.
I didn't even have a GPS.
Yeah, Apple's the best. But I think if I had to give advice is like, oh, my big thing for myself, because I lived on my own in my early 20s and I never moved back in with my parents. So I've been like, you know, pretty independent of that and having to control my own money forever. I can proudly say that like I've never asked my parents for money. But I was talking to my manager this weekend in New York about that. And I was like, but let me just make this clear. They didn't have any money to give me. If my parents were like loaded, I would have definitely been like, can I
give me
some money? So I didn't ask for money because I didn't have any money. And I knew better than to go that route. But I think freedom lies with financial independence.
100%.
And no matter where I was in life, I worked very hard, mind you, for my money. My money wasn't given to me in any way. Like, they were from all my jobs that I worked very hard at. And college wasn't paid for by anyone but myself. And that was work for money that I worked for. Everything I own was from me. And so with that perspective, I always lived under my means. And no matter what, I kept $1,000 in savings because I knew I was on my own. And when you know that about yourself, it's, you have to protect yourself. So what if we get a car wreck, or what if like something happens and I need $1,000? It would be right there for me. And no matter what happened, like, I pretty much wouldn't spend it. And it came down to the point where I was like, marrying him, and I still had $1,000. I just never needed it. And yeah. I was finally like, okay, I can move on from this. But
I love that we have that perspective though, because me, probably similar to you, like, I always had my family to kind of rely on. Mm-hmm. Like, I paid for my own college, but
so same,
like, if like emergencies happened and
they would
and
help.
I needed something, I could turn to my family for help, which you didn't necessarily have.
So. Yeah. So you just like always are like, it makes you more independent, I feel, and it makes you more aware.
Oh yeah. You grew up so much faster than me.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Like, you're hyper aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's why you are where you are today though, is because of like how fast you had to grow up and like how reliant on yourself you actually were.
Yeah.
And I feel like your siblings rely on you a lot too.
Oh my God,
they
yeah.
do.
And they did growing up too. And I feel like you were almost the first child when you're the last child. Like, you're the baby, but technically you're almost treated like the first.
Totally.
So it's like, you've had to grow up quicker. I know as a first, like, obviously, like, it's very much that situation where it's like, can you get my shit together because my siblings are looking after me? So in a way, it's like, you, same thing as siblings looking at you.
It's weird because like, you definitely have dealt with some of the similar things in your family, but you're the oldest.
Exactly. It makes more sense for me.
Yeah, right, right. Yes. And like, they're still younger. They're figuring out their stuff and you're like super, super successful, you know? So of course I like, look up to you and like need help from you.
Right.
But for me, I was the youngest, you know? Yes. And like our lifestyle growing up was very chaotic, as I talked about many times in the past. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't think my brother and sister, like, I think it was very challenging for them and has still been growing up in that environment. Whereas for me, I have said multiple times, like, if you could pluck me out of my family and put me in a perfect family, no thank you. Because remember, I've said, like, I liked how much control I had over my life.
Yeah.
Because no one else was controlling my life, even at a really young age. Like, all the decisions were mine. I just like ate that up. Because I feel
you thrived under the pressure. You thrive in it.
Some people don't.
Some people don't.
But you can.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's possible to thrive. Because a lot of people will like get with that, it literally becomes the complete opposite, actually. And they become so hyper dependent on other things and other people. And, or you can be a complete like spoiled brat too.
Totally.
It's like, oh, you're so independent. You're just like, oh, I can do whatever the fuck I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, it can become like this different dynamic, but I feel like you took it and you took it the right way.
Thank you. As a Virgo.
You did what was right.
I will say the part about work, I'll briefly say, like, anything you really want to do, just know, like, if it's getting out of your comfort zone, which anything that's going to change your life, it's going to be out of your comfort zone. That's just a hard fact. Like, once you deep dive into doing that, let me make this clear to you, everything will go wrong.
Painfully clear.
Painfully everything's going to go wrong and everything's going to try to do, the world, the universe is going to try to do everything in its power to push you back into your comfort zone, and you have to like take note of what's going on. So it's like, I remember it was a story of a guy quit his job, started his own business, and his house burned down like that same week. And it was just like,
of course it did.
You need that solid job more than ever. Like, that's how the world works. So it's like, in your 20s, I did not allow those things to scare me back into my comfort zone. And that's part of why I, what do they always call it in football whenever you have, starts with an A?
Complacency.
Well, when you're not complacent, but the opposite of that, whenever you have like.
Athletic.
No.
It starts with an A. Athletic.
Anyways, whenever you can just keep going through the tough times and keep moving forward.
Ativan.
Keep your eye on the prize.
Ativan?
No.
Mm-mm. Isn't that a medication?
He sure is.
Literally. I was like, that's not the one.
That's not, yeah, can't be
Nick
the one.
Nick Saban literally says it. We had, I don't know, he says it in every single speech ever.
But he always talked about not being complacent.
Yeah, but it's like the opposite of that, but being able to like go through a hard time. But anyways, what do you guys think about work and money?
I agree. I mean, honestly, like with everything, obviously with your point, I couldn't agree more. And like for me, I feel like my entire like 20s and like work life, that especially with what I do now, was kind of swimming against the current, especially being a boy, especially being in the beauty community, growing up Latino, but also being gay, growing up Mormon. Like, there was a lot of like constant battles I was facing up. I was like against, like, trying to run uphill. Mm-hmm. And it was tough and it was really hard. And I got, like, I just, like, there was a lot of setbacks for me. But I felt like I always kept my eyes on the prize. And there was something that's really, really important for me when I was in my 20s was learning how to self-soothe. And it's, like, the idea of, like, being okay with yourself. Mm-hmm. And, like, knowing that, like, whatever comes your way, work, money, things, like, as long as you're okay with how things are with your situation, like, you will be okay. Mm-hmm. And so I learned that, like, from a really, really young age because of, obviously, like, being gay and, like, growing up how I did. I was very much, like, almost, like, in the closet in my room, very much, like, didn't really know, couldn't talk to anyone about anything. So I had to, like, rely on myself in this weird way. So I've always relied on myself for my money, for my work, everything I do. I'm very driven, very self-motivated. And it's okay, especially in your 20s, to, like, not know what that is right away, right? Yeah. And a lot of people, like, figure that out.
For instance, I know this, the answer to Laura's answer about this question, but, like, when you got into being an influencer, like, what was your idea of, like, what that meant to you? Did that mean a lot of money, like, you have now?
I had no idea. I had no idea what that meant. For me, it was escapism.
Or was it just doing something that you really like to do? And if I get paid for it, I get paid for it.
100%. And I knew that people could make a living off of it. I just didn't know what that meant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What, for me, what it was like, oh, I had this, like, way of escaping my reality because I just wasn't as happy with what was going on in my own world because, you know, of just, like, everything kind of going on. And so when I found, like, the online community and there was people that, like, liked me for me, that was, like, there was such a uniqueness about that because people did like me in real life. People loved me, but they didn't know all of me in this, like, way, you know, especially, like, when I started beauty stuff, like, I blocked, like, all the members of the church that, like, I went to church with. Like, I didn't let people in fully ever.
Right.
Whereas, like, online, I felt like there was, like, this way of, like, I could be myself more. And so when that became my job and that became, like, how I earned a living, it was, like, a huge blessing.
It was almost, like, therapy, like, for you.
It was therapeutic.
To do that.
It was a diary.
Turned into a job.
Like, I always say YouTube is, like, my diary in a weird way.
It is. Because
I was
able to look back on, too.
Yeah, totally. Which is why I don't even have, like, my first video, like, deleted or anything like that.
Me either.
Like, this is cool to be able to, like, kind of look back and see, especially where I was at the time. Like, I wasn't as, you know, sure, as aware and of myself, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I knew I wanted to do something that I was passionate about, and that was makeup. And I was passionate about it.
Yeah.
And I followed my dreams, and I followed my passions, and I created a career out of it. So I could, I mean, always, you know, recommend to you guys too, in your 20s, figuring out what your passions are and, like, figuring out if you can make a career out of it and, like, going in that direction and really try to engulf yourself in what you're passionate about, because it can.
Yeah.
It can become your full-time career.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, like, my little tip in, is, like, really just find your passions, and it's okay if it takes a little while.
Yeah. For me, like, the way I was kind of raised was almost like a Southern pride thing, like, where you kind of stick to doing one thing for your life
forever.
Yeah. And you stick to doing that. Like, you know, go to school, get an education was what my parents always taught me and preached to me. And, like, that's what I did. And
drilled
it was like, it's almost like, go get a job. And that's kind of the job you're at for the rest. Like, my dad has been at 2 jobs, pretty much, maybe 3 his entire life. My mom was, until the point that she retired, she was at the same job since she was 18.
She retired so early because she never left her job.
Which is insane, but, like, that's a very, like, Southern thing. Like, that's what people do kind of down
south. I don't know, that maybe, that's, like, Southern from our experience, but it may not be as uncommon, like, as Southern as we think. And maybe, like, throughout, like, everyone just kind of does that unless you're in, like, in a different type of industry.
Right. People say that people's careers change, like, 5
but,
times
and see
lifetime.
That was gonna be
and
there's
especially
change,
on the west
like
coast
none.
Yeah, right, on, like, the west coast and the east coast,
that
so
was
maybe
gonna,
that's like, it is more of a Southern thing.
I think so, and that was gonna be my advice, and this is kind of what I preach to Aaron as well, is, like, don't think that, you know, you go to college, you get a degree, you get a job, like, don't think that that's where you're gonna be your entire life, and don't think you have to get stuck just because, like, oh, it doesn't look good on a resume to jump around from job to job to job. When you're in your 20s, that doesn't really matter.
Right.
In, like, your 40s
and you've had
late
30s. Jobs
and
in a
totally.
Yeah, and then that, yeah, maybe that makes more sense. But, like, when you're still trying to figure your shit out, then, like, I think you can move around and do things like that. And that's what I've kind of been trying to tell Aaron. But, like, I, in my brain, like, when I figured out graduating college, I was going to get a job and that was going to kind of be it. So if I could give any advice, it would definitely be to, like, definitely experiment, find yourself, and, like, hopefully you can find something that you like to do, like you guys did, that who knows, might turn out to pay you well.
Right.
And like with people who have questions, like I don't know how to figure out what I'm passionate about.
Only one thing to do
is try new things mm-hmm. and get out of your comfort zone. That is the only way you can do it. Mm-hmm. Whether that's dating someone new, meeting new friends, hanging out with new people, getting a new job, picking up a new hobby, doing something different on the weekend that you just have never done. Like if you are doing the same thing, I can guarantee you the same result. If you're looking for something different and something you want to get into and you just don't know what it is or how to even start it, just literally do something different. And that could be like as simple as like hanging out with a different person for once mm-hmm. or going to a different club. Like you totally. Never know. It's like, but I can't.
Easy little things.
The only right. thing I can guarantee you is that your life will remain the same with the same actions.
Yep.
I couldn't agree more.
So, I mean, you guys with YouTube, like how uncomfortable was it when you guys first started? Because like obviously it's seamless and like effortless for you guys to do a podcast mm-hmm. through a YouTube video. But like when you first started, how uncomfortable was it?
It's awkward.
Well, when we first started, there wasn't as many people online, which mm-hmm. doesn't mean it's not awkward for anyone when they get started. But now it's like so accepted.
It's more like seen. There's yeah. more visibility right. to it. Like it wasn't like
people know what you're doing.
Then.
It's not like, oh my God, what are you doing filming yourself? You know, but back 100%. When we did it, I remember my first video. I'll never forget. I remember both of my roommates were at work. So I was like, finally got that. I would never film if they were home. I'd freak out if they caught me. Yeah. Like how embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I remember I skipped like a college class so I could get to the house and be home while they were at work.
Yeah.
So that was like guaranteed. And I remember I kept pausing the video because I kept hearing a noise and I would be like, I thought they walked in. Yeah. It was like my worst nightmare. That's how embarrassed and like how I remember just like sweating in the video just because mm-hmm. I was like freaking out because I'm like, what am I doing right now? Like I felt insane. Like,
I remember absolutely. You used to kick me out of out of your room whenever so you'd be filming or something like that
because it was mm-hmm. like crazy. But guys, that was me getting out of my comfort zone mm-hmm. and putting myself out there regardless of how horrible the content was and uncomfortable and how comfortable I was doing it. Like I pushed forward.
Oh, my first video I think is like I get ready going to Mac, but I remember like I had taken my mom's camera and I had taken my mom's Mac pigments from like her room
her she stuff. Know?
And she didn't know. And like I had like taken all these things and I remember when I was first
starting. Wait, did she know you were wearing makeup then though?
Okay, my first video was 2014. I started doing like social media 2013. So I think that by this time she knew that I worked at Mac.
Oh, okay.
So she knows.
Like, they didn't know I was wearing makeup at work.
Yeah.
I think it was more so like, oh, like I would like, maybe I'll wear powder or something. Okay. But it wasn't like I was full glam going to work. So I was doing that at the house, but like door locked.
Yeah. Right.
Very secretive.
But you were out of the closet with them by then?
I was. Yeah. Okay. I was out of the closet.
That's good at least that was it wasn't closet. Like, there's this and I want to be a YouTube star. Right.
No, I mean, that was another like completely different. When we get to family, we'll go to that. We'll go to that section. Okay. But that was a completely different struggle because I was obviously going to college.
Yeah.
You know, I was going in a different route. I found YouTube.
Career beauty, change.
Completely different career change. But yeah, you know, it was hard. It was very difficult. And I think that at the end of the day, good things don't come when they're super easy.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
Like true. Good things happen when you like, you know,
it's and always the harder thing. Better. It's always the harder thing to do.
Yes.
It's the better thing.
It always just ends up being like that, like all the time. At least like from my personal experience, it's always been like the easiest thing was never the thing that like made me super happy. It was always the thing I had to really work for and really try for that made me the most like fulfilled.
It's like temporary happiness with the easy stuff.
Yeah.
And then the longevity lies within the hard shit that you got to do.
Absolutely.
All right, let's jump into love.
Before we do that, let's go to a break.
Okay, we're going on a break. We got the break guy.
Another break guy.
Manny, you know how we're always looking out for the perfect drink, whether it's a cocktail or mocktail? I have two words for you. Taste salud.
Oh my God, Laura, are we telling our listeners our secret find this soon?
Yes, we can't gatekeep any longer. Mm-mm. Okay, guys, picture this. The convenience of an on-the-go mocktail drink mix that's just waiting for a splash of tequila to turn it into a delicious cocktail.
That sounds like our kind of party. You know, obviously mocktails for me and cocktails for you.
Isn't the taste shocking? Their Paloma and Strawberry Margarita mocktails taste just like the real deal.
So the gag is, not only is the taste amazing, what about the fact that the calories? Okay, let's talk about the calories. Salud drinks mixes only have 1 gram of sugar and take the thinking out of the decision making. We're so done drinking our calories in 2024.
Yes, we are. Also, the thought of everything, taste, convenience, and all the added benefits like hydration, immunity in your cocktail.
It's a serious, serious game changer. So whether it's a cocktail with a kick or a mocktail that tastes like a dream for us sober dolls, Salud has us covered.
They're the absolute best. That's why Manny and me love them. If you're ready to try the best mocktails out there, head to tastesalud.com and use FULL10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Cheers to that, and honestly, cheers to authentic flavors. Let's drink to good taste and good health. Thank you so much to Smalls for sponsoring this portion of Full Coverage. You guys, cat food, it's been the same forever, and it's time that we move our cat food from like just little kibble and little hard little pebbles to, you know, get into the 21st century, and that is what Smalls is.
I love Smalls cat food for my cats. I'm a cat mama.
Yes.
And we feed our cats wet food for sure. We always have. But I've always, you know, looked at the ingredients and I'm like, I don't know what's right. You guys, Smalls is the one and my cats actually like it. Smalls was started in 2017 when a couple of guys were at home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. A few short years later, they've served millions of meals to cats around the world.
I am absolutely obsessed with that. I think that it's so cool that they are doing that. And I just, you know, we want to feed our little furry friends the best things that we can feed them. So give your cat the gift of great cat food this holiday season. Head to smalls.com/fool and use promo code FOOL at checkout for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use our code FOOL for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code FOOL for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. Okay, so we're back and we're gonna talk about love. Love in our 20s.
Love in our 20s.
Wow. We have an interesting perspective on love in our 20s.
I know. You guys are literally married.
We were high school sweethearts.
Yeah. We met at the end of our senior year in high school.
We did. I mean, we met at the beginning of.
We met at
the
beginning.
We started dating.
Excuse me. We started dating.
Got it.
Yeah.
At the end of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I don't know. I mean, it's just a very interesting perspective for us to have.
No, it is.
Yeah.
That's like kind of like the fun part about like you guys being on it and me as like a single person being on it too. Cause like my perspective on love in my 20s, for me, you know, I had a very hard time finding love and affection in my early 20s because I didn't know who I was.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, I grew up a very specific way. I ended up coming out and I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what being gay was. I didn't know anything about it. So I thought that love was having sex with men. Again, I thought, I was like, oh, well, this is my way of like getting affection. This must be what love is, you know, in a weird way. So, because I didn't have this know-how, this knowledge or anything. I was completely in the dark. Like I didn't have like, if you look, you turn the news on, you turn on TV, it was about gays dying from AIDS.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally what it was 15 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. Now it's obviously different. There's so much more stories and you can see great, amazing things happening. It just wasn't the same 15 years ago. And growing up for me, it was literally like being gay is bad.
Yeah.
So when I was like, oh my God, like what does like love even mean? Like it was a very difficult thing for me to figure out. But I will say I'm glad that I put myself out there. And I think that you can't find love and you can't find that kind of camaraderie and affection if you don't try. And for a long time, I did try really hard, really, really hard. In my early 20s, I tried so hard and I tried almost too hard where I would like scare guys away. Cause I would like, I remember this one situation and it like kind of embarrasses me now, but I was maybe 21. There was this guy I was into, we were talking and I remember I was like, oh, what are you up to? And he's like, oh, I'm sick. And I'm like, okay, cool. And so like, I went to like the store, bought him soup and flowers and left at his door. And I was like, I left you something. And it was so like, I guess like looking back, I'm just like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Like that's so thirsty and like weird. But like, I just didn't know any better. Cause I was like, oh, well, if someone did that for me,
you're
I'd
like
be sweet.
Naive and you're just like, I'll do what's nice.
I'll do what's nice. And like, what would I would like in the moment, you know? So even though it was cringy, I appreciate the fact that I did try and put myself out there. And though although it didn't work and like, he was just like, hey, like, I don't see you like that. Like whatever, which is like fine. I'm glad that in my 20s, in my early 20s, especially like I did experiment and try to like, find myself because I'm like obviously happy with who I am now as a human being, but a lot of that came from these like failed experiments when trying to find love.
I feel like failure is definitely a form of redirection.
Absolutely. You're not really failing. You're just like falling forward.
It's redirection. It's a lesson. I will say this. I recently rewatched The Hills, which yes. I was so into, like Laguna Beach, The Hills. I was like very, very into that. So I was like, let me just rewatch because I haven't watched it since it came out. So I don't even remember who was on it or like what happened. I just like vaguely remembered it. So I recently rewatched it and it sucks because I rewatched it in my 30s and rewatching your 30s, you realize this whole show is about a group of guys treating beautiful women like shit and them putting up with it and dealing it for 6 seasons straight. Ooh. That's what The Hills is. And it's like, that was our representation to the youth during my time growing up. And it's like, I feel like women have come such a long way with the fuckboy. I mean, they haven't, but with dealing with fuckboys, my advice to you would be like, don't get involved with them on any account. But also another thing I see a lot is women's biological clock. So it's like women single in their 30s. I see and hear a lot of conversation of them settling with men to have a child. Mm-hmm. And then they get stuck with men that they're not happy with because they settled because their biological clock. And I know this sounds so stupid. It's coming from someone who doesn't have kids, but I just feel like that's probably not a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Settle on a relationship with someone just because you want a kid and your clock is ticking. I know that has to be like the hardest, most stressful thing in the world. But I'm just thinking long term on that one. I don't know.
Are you going to be happy long term? It becomes like this conversation where it's like, obviously you can be very happy with the child, but like if you're not happy with your partner as much too, like that like
that's
sucks.
Hard that's hard. Really hard situation. And to like raise a child in that environment, it's like you only get one life, and it's like to spend it with someone that you're genuinely not happy with, it's not worth it.
I guess my perspective on love in your 20s is to like really find yourself and understand yourself before like finding that person for the rest of your life. I feel like me and you have a very interesting perspective being with each other since, you know, we were teenagers. But I think me and you just being able to, because I moved off to college.
That was right out of
high
school. Yeah.
After a year of staying home. And then I moved away for a few years. So me and Laura essentially lived two different lives.
We like didn't even know each other that well for a few years. We were together.
Right. I mean, we kind of just saw each other on the weekends.
It was every other weekend.
Yeah. Really? Because like I worked on the weekends and I was studying a lot. So to be honest, we didn't get a lot of time with each other for a good like 2 to 3 years. So I think we were able to spend, we were fortunate, I feel like, at the time, but we were fortunate enough to spend enough time away from each other and understand like what we wanted as individuals. And then once I graduated, we were able to like come back together.
I feel like too, whenever I would moved out and was with all my friends, you moved away and went with all your friends. We only saw each other every other weekend. So I feel like during that time, that's when I started my YouTube channel because I was like not worried about my relationship as much.
Right.
And I had just kind of ended some friendships. So it was kind of on my own. It was like during that time that we were on our own, it's like we really were able to find ourselves. And we are totally different people from the people when we started dating.
Oh yeah.
I think the best parts about us, like our sense of humor.
We grew together.
Totally.
Yeah, you know, it's like at least you grew in this direction and not like this.
And exactly. I think that's a rare thing. That's why you don't hear of high school sweethearts. I think also like one moves away and goes to college.
Yeah. Another thing is trust too. Oh, like, yeah, that's Jesus true. Christ, like being able to, and when you're in your college years, being able to trust like a significant other when you're not living close to each other at all, like that takes tough. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God we have that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like one of the big factors.
Yeah, I was going to say like at the you have to have like your cores like together and like everything kind of just falls into place when it's like when you trust each other, when you love each other and like those kind of aspects when they're like there and they're so strong and they're so deep, like things that happen, like they're just like, oh, they fall to the wayside because it's like, oh, well, I know I trust you and I know I love you.
Yeah. Also, like during our college years, like if I wanted to go rage with my girlfriends, like no one held me back. I didn't have a boyfriend on the phone call blowing me up, telling me to go home. And same with him. Like I didn't even know what he was doing half the time.
I mean, I went out all the time.
I would come home on the weekends. I'd be like, tell me everything.
totally.
Honestly, we had a lot of like stories to tell each other over the phone and stuff like that. Yeah. So, yeah.
We had a really good relationship. A good friendship, good relationship.
I would say definitely finding yourself. Yeah. Helps out in your 20s before you're able to find that person that you're gonna, because like You can't. It's hard to.
If you can't love yourself, how the hell are you supposed to love somebody else?
Can I get an amen?
Me and RuPaul are on the same wavelength.
Yeah, same wavelength. Absolutely. But it's the truth. Like, when it comes to love, you got to love yourself first. That's what love is. Loving yourself. And then you're able to love someone else at the max capacity because you know you're not insecure about stupid shit because you love yourself.
Do you know your most secure relationship is going to be the relationship you get into after you've been single for a long time and you're 100% okay being single? Like, you're like, bitch, I'm good. I'm having a blast. I'm on my own. I'm finally over it. I'm finally comfortable being alone with myself. You're not okay being alone with yourself. I think it's a dangerous time today.
It's a slippery slope.
It's when you're a jumper. Yes.
When you're a jumper from relationship to relationship, danger zone. It's a little scarier.
Danger zone. You got some stuff you got to work out. We all do. Mm-hmm. And no one wants to deal with their problems.
Yeah. But when you're in your 20s, like jumping around from relationship.
It's fine.
Yeah. Just like with the job we were saying. Like, exactly. Experimenting. That's part of finding yourself.
But I think an important part of that is eventually being okay by yourself.
Right. And you have to do it to an extent, too, because, like, if you're just breaking people's trust jumping around like that, then you're probably.
And I know you guys are probably like, girl, you've been dating him since high school, but I dated quite a few guys before him.
This is news to me.
And I got in some deep relationships, deeper than they should have been. And
you thought you were in love?
Yeah. And then I got out of those relationships and like I took a lot of time to be with my girlfriends and party it up.
Well, when me and you first met, like, we could have easily been dating. Like, we like had like a
thing. We had like a thing going, but yes. I would never commit because I was straight up with him and I was like,
I'm hanging with my girls. I'm out of a relationship.
I just got really happy being single, basically. Right. That's what it was. Like, I just found a place where I'm like so good being single, and I knew I wanted to like have that time a little more because I knew what a relationship was like, and so I was like, I want to wait. And then
you knew what that relationship was like.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, I knew what, like, you, when you're in a relationship, you are committed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, to being with that person and putting your time and energy, and like I wasn't ready to do that again. And I had finally, and it took me so long, found myself in a place where I was like comfortable again being single and like living my best life. So I was like, let me just marinate on this a little longer. And then we got together.
I love that. I really, really
the rest
do.
Is history.
The rest is herstory.
Family.
Herstory.
Family.
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 Number three is friendship, not family.
Friendship.
Friendship
in your 20s.
I read the wrong one.
Friendship.
What are we talking about with friendship, guys?
I mean, honestly, we've all had crazy experiences with friendships.
Part of the reason I started my YouTube channel is I was exiting major friendships.
Tell the little story about that.
I was friends with a lot of girls from high school and we decided to move in together. That's a great recipe to ruin friendships. But but it became a point in my life where I was like, my friendships were no longer feeding me in any way. If anything, they were draining me. And I started to see my life go into a cycle towards my mid-20s headed. I started to see the same cycle. Same people I went to high school with. Same clubs we're going out to every night. Same people we're hanging out with every night. I was sick of that life. And it was like the same drama and the same people that treated me ways I didn't want to be treated. And the same competition. You know, girls that compete with you. I mean, there's just people that compete with you. I was like done with that life. So I made the decision. I was like, I think I'm going to go with no friends, which I don't know if I had to take it that hard. But I was like, I think I'm going to go with no friends and like be a YouTuber. Like, I got to the point where I was at my breaking point.
You want to risk it all.
Yeah.
But like high risk, high reward.
So I cut everyone off. I saw them going out on their Facebook at the time. I was so just like saddened and FOMO'd out about that. But I was like, no, you made a decision. Like, these friendships at this time are toxic. Now, granted, of course, these people have changed. We were young girls making mistakes. Totally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These are toxic friendships. You promised yourself you're done with them. You're not going out to the same clubs with them. Like, it's over. And so I really committed to like making new friends. And then I began, I eventually slowly made a new group of friends of girls in our 20s, and those relationships were so much more nourishing. Mm-hmm. And like, those were the girls which I talk about all the time. Like, they were like, bitch, yes, your YouTube channel's so good, like, love yes it. do it like, mm-hmm. those were the ones. And I found myself with like some mature, they were my age, but they were like a little more mature ladies, mm-hmm. and had like some really good stuff going for them, and I'm still friends with each and every one of them today.
I love.
And I'm even friends with the people that, you know, were more toxic in my life. I'm mm-hmm. also friends with them today. That's why I'm like, I don't.
People change.
I mean, come on. Sometimes. That was like years and years and years yeah. ago. You know, you're young and dumb.
Mm-hmm.
All's forgiven.
If I could give advice for a friendship in your 20s, is just to remember you are who you hang out with.
Ooh.
Mm, like,
that part. Hit us hard. Right, that part.
Yeah,
that's that the part. One.
It, like, I mean, you mm-hmm. live and you learn. You go through relationships totally. With friends just like you do with, you know, lovers. But you are who you hang out with. And eventually that'll come to bite you in the ass.
Totally.
Like you were saying, you felt like you were just going in circles with these same friend groups. Like, if you want something different, you've got to change it up. And
it was me.
That's going to include
friends. And I had to have FOMO. And I had to be alone and be sad.
It's tough for people that, like, stay living in the place where you grew up, because like, you have those same friends.
It's so hard.
True.
And
so
it's
much harder.
So true. Easy to get like sucked into like a cycle of mm-hmm. just like endless.
But I found a whole new friends group.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard. But you did. You find what you seek.
True.
You're looking for it.
True.
Yeah. And you found an online community that helped and that you loved and you appreciated. Yeah. And then and that way it was a catalyst for finding yeah. people that you fucked with.
Gave right. me the confidence.
Gave you the confidence to do so. And I couldn't agree more with Tyler. I feel like you are what you hang out with. I think that advice, you know, for friendship in 20s is that, like, just know that you don't have to be in a friendship and you're able to leave a friendship. Like, if it doesn't serve you, if they are bringing you down instead of lifting you up, that is not a friend.
No, agreed. Agreed.
Like, that is a huge thing. And, like, you guys have to know that if you're not happy with a friend and you think about, like, do they lift me up? Do they root for me? Do they, you know, fight for me? Or do they drag me down and every opportunity they get, they talk shit about me when I'm not there? Like, you need to, like,
yeah.
realize that. And if that's the case, you are able to leave a friendship. And I know it feels hard because I've been in situations that were tough and I'm like, fuck, I don't know what to do. But if you feel like the friendship is not serving you, you're allowed to leave it. And it doesn't matter if you're friends 100%. When you're 12 years old.
Doesn't
and
matter.
You're 25.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
And you've had this long experience. At the end of the day, if you're growing in a trajectory that you want to go for and you want to move up in the world, you want to do what you want to do, and they don't want you to and they want to bring you down because they're competitive with you or whatever it might be, you need to cut that shit off.
Listen to that spidey sense.
If it's tingling,
you need to address it. Like, it means something.
It does mm-hmm. mean something. Your intuition, it talks to you. Yeah, it's like, I don't think people, like, and I will say one of my biggest mistakes is, like, I always knew the term, you are who you hang around. Mm-hmm. But I did not take that as serious as I should have
Same.
Taken
I know
that.
I didn't. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I was like, yeah, sure, you know.
Sure you are, like, whatever.
It's whatever. Not that big of a deal. Anyways, I'm not like them. Yes. They're the ones with the problem. So I was like, I had to, like, exit those relationships. And I feel like, yeah, I changed as mm-hmm. a person, met different people. But I feel like, too, like, you're not going to meet a new friends group while you're in the one you're in. You know what I mean? If you're spending right. all your time and energy with these people, like, this new amazing friend group's not going to fall in your lap.
Mm-hmm. And they could if you were, you know, if especially a group that if you're like, you know what, let me go ahead and try to experiment with other people. Like, they can fall into your lap and they will come into your life when you put that energy out there. Mm-hmm. It's just really, really important to, like, also have those conversations with friends and be like, hey, you know, it's so easy to ghost, let me tell you. And
yeah.
But it's not like the way to be. Let me tell you, like, this is advice. If I wish someone had told me this in my 20s, was like, Manny, like, you need to, like, put your big boy pants on. And when you have problems with friends, you need to talk to them about it and not just, like, leave and not just not talk about something and not, and just be like, oh, well, like, they're never going to get it. And then just disappear. Cause that's something I always did in my whole life. Cause I've always been like, okay, like, you're just not going to get me. So I run away. You know, it's really important to be able to have real conversations with people. And I wish I learned that a little bit younger.
Yeah.
And that's something I would
Guys,
love
this
to.
This is such a deep episode here.
I know.
We're usually we don't, so happy and giggly on full coverage, and then all of a sudden we come in with these bombshells.
We're but ripping it's like, the honestly, band-aids. I think it's like,
man, good. Tell we us have, a joke. Make us laugh.
Yeah, make us laugh, Manny.
I can't just do that. You know, when people do that to me, I'm like, I'm not funny. Like, I'll literally freak out because I don't think I'm funny when, like, I'm put on the spot.
You just
I'm
laugh just,
like,
right now.
Naturally,
see?
I feel like if I'm just talking, I can be funny. Hey, but yeah. I'm not, like, yeah. funny if someone's like, be funny.
Yeah.
Little bitch. I'm not funny.
You're funny, Manny. You're Thank funny. You.
But yeah, so I feel like it's nice. Like, we have so much more to us than just being funny.
Yeah.
Like, there's, we're, we Layers. Have, we've had deep lives. Yes. And we've experienced a lot of shit.
We got layers.
And it's nice to show you guys that too.
We are so excited to tell you guys all about what is keeping us hydrated and healthy, and that is Taste Salud.
As many of you know, Manny and I love a good glow on the skin, and skincare is great, but hydration starts from within, babes. Salud's Hydration Plus Immunity Drink Mixes get straight to the root. Get ready to sparkle from the inside out.
They're the ultimate drink mix with a 2-in-1 benefits, 1 gram of sugar only, and authentic agua fresca flavors.
No, because let's talk about it. Hydration and immunity for the healthy glow, low calories, and authentic agua fresca flavors. Are you kidding me?
Baby, you have me at agua frescas. Flavors like jamaica and horchata are nostalgic as hell to me. You know, it just takes me right back to when, you know, I was at family functions and, you know, the parties in the backyard. And it just really makes me feel good drinking them, to be quite honest. And I can constantly drink them without worrying about too much sugar, which is lovely.
I personally love their clean ingredients. They're also vegan and gluten-free. They're so yummy and easy to incorporate into your daily water. So if you're ready to hydrate your body inside and out.
So if you're ready to relive nostalgic moments.
Head to tastesalud.com and use code FULL10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Taste the goodness, embrace the nostalgia, and cheers to health, babes.
All right, family. I finally get to say family.
Family. Okay, family in your 20s. You know, the cool thing like about this too is that like we have such different family dynamics as well. And
all three of us
have such different family dynamics, and you know, we've had such ebbs and flows with different things. I've had very hard times with my family, especially coming out as gay, and you know, I felt like it wasn't as accepted.
You're gay.
I know Shocker. You would never thought with this shirt I'm wearing. never thought in a million years. So it was tough. So for me, advice in your 20s, it's really important that you try with your family and they try with you. I think that's like, there's like this thing where it's like, it's so easy. Like, let's say if your parent doesn't understand you as a human or what you want to be, it's important to not just like completely blow them off, because it takes two to tango. And that's kind of what I always talk about, is that like, if your family is trying with you and they're trying to understand, it might not be, you know, the most easiest way to do it or the most PC way or, you know, these things, if they are trying in some capacity with you because they love you and they care about you, it's your responsibility to also try. And I think that was a big part for me in my relationships with my parents, was when I knew that they were trying to understand me, and me being gay, obviously growing up Mormon, they were trying to understand what that meant. They were trying to understand, like, is this a choice? Like, they didn't know, but they tried with me because they loved me.
Of course.
And even though I was frustrated with them constantly and I was very mad and angry, I knew that because they were trying, that I had to try too, and I had to meet them halfway. So I think for me, it's really important to kind of reiterate that sentiment, that with family, it's really important that, like, if you love them and you care about them and you want them in your life forever, you got to put the work in as well. Like, it can't just be one-sided. It needs to be, it has to be a two-way street.
Yeah.
And that also applies if your family's draining and horrible and terrible, then you got to come off. So it's like, it just kind of depends, like, what the dynamic
everybody's
is.
Everybody's scenario is different.
But for me, I knew I had to try and put the work in. So that's just something I said, like, obviously in your 20s. And just, that's just life advice. Like, relationships always take work. Doesn't matter if it's family, friendships, relationship. They're always going to take work in some capacity. And it's important that we know the other aspect of it and be empathetic when we can.
I think too, like, coming from my perspective on family, and just like, I put so much out there about my family on the internet, and I've gotten so much, you know, information back on people, what they've dealt with in their families. And I just want to say this, just because they're a family member does not mean they have to be a part of your life. I mean, I'm sorry, that's just a hard cool fact.
Hard truth.
I know there are so many people in horrible toxic situations in their household or with their families, and they continuously deal with it. It's that negativity and that energy is constantly in their life because they just like, well, it's family. And I just like don't agree with that. I think like obviously trying to a reasonable degree, but if it's,
absolutely,
you know,
to a point,
halfway,
absolutely.
It's like every scenario is different, but like if a family is literally tearing you apart and putting you in a very horrible space, toxic relationships, I'm personally okay cutting them off 100%. Just because you're related to me does not give you the right to treat me in any type of way. And I have a standard for anybody in my life, and that goes for coworkers, friends, and family, that I just won't tolerate.
Totally.
You know, and I won't, like, you will not be a part of my life if you are horrible.
Toxic.
Yeah, it's like just being able to set boundaries with your family. Just because, like, you've lived with them your entire life, so there is no boundaries for the longest. So when you're in your 20s, you've got to be able to set those boundaries if they're needed, of course.
Of course. But and depending, obviously, like we were saying, depending on situation, yeah. It's different for literally everyone.
Every scenario is different.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you have to set boundaries. That's what's really important in your 20s, because you're starting to become, you know, an adult, and it's like, what are you okay? It's, you start to realize, like, what am I okay with?
Right. Yeah.
What do I want, like, as my trajectory for the rest of my life? Like, right. That's what, you know, in the early 20s kind of is forming. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, what's the rest of my life going to mean? I'm in my 20s now. I'm getting closer to 30s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and those are, like, huge parts of it. Family. At the end of the day, too, you guys, it's a big thing in the LGBT world is, like, your chosen family. That's a true thing, you know? If your family, your real life blood is not serving you as a human being, you can choose the family of the people you're around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what a chosen family is. It's like, that's a huge thing, obviously, in the gay community. If their family,
doesn't accept them
and they're like cast to the wayside, they find people in their life that become like mothers, like fathers, like brothers and sisters.
It feeds their soul.
And it feeds them as a human being. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you can choose that energy and whoever you want to be around.
It's really easy, I think, from the opposite perspective to take your family for granted, you know, especially in your 20s, because like you're living your life, like you're young, you're thriving. You don't need a family. You're independent. Mm-hmm. So
you're living.
Yeah. Just trying
slow
to like,
down.
I mean, make a conscious effort to appreciate your family and have those. Call your mom. So I'm done.
Call your mom.
You should call your mom.
Call them
right now. Mm-hmm. And don't forget about dad.
And call dad too.
And remember, life's shorter than you think it is.
It is.
Absolutely.
You think it's short, but you guys, I'm like, no one knows how short it is. It's so short. I have a better perspective on
how short. You think you'll eventually get around to like, oh, I'll get around to
it. It's fleeting. It's fleeting. It is truly.
You're never going to be as young in this exact moment.
Yeah.
So that obviously means that life is fleeting.
Fleeting. Truly. You're going to blink and you're going to be in your 30s and then it's just.
Your 30s just like us.
Life is so short. It's shorter than you imagine. Mm-hmm. So take action today.
When you can.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right. Last segment-ish. Oh, okay.
Fitness and family.
Fitness and food.
We can't read today.
I see that. I should have read on the board. So you guys, I just wanted to add this last one, like fitness.
It's important.
Because it's important. It's about like your lifestyle when it comes to that aspect of it. What do you guys think about fitness and food?
Okay, here, I'll give my little spiel. I spent my 20s eating like shit and not working out. And towards the end of my 20s, I work out more now, right now, than I ever have in my life. Like I have kind of a routine down and I work hard on my body. And because I spent so many years online, like not working out and eating like shit, so many people are like, you look the way you do and you do whatever you want. And I'm like, ugh. Actually, I don't want you guys to believe that because it's not true. Mm-hmm. You know, my unhealthy meals are my treats. And those are the ones I show more because I'm not going to show a nasty grain bowl. Just a salad and a grain bowl. How horrible. I love junk food, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
I love it. I have no shame in it. I love it. And then fitness, I've always had like a decently fast metabolism. Obviously, that's slowed down. So I will say that's what got my butt in gear and I work out more than ever. But whatever you're putting into your body is what comes out. And like your brain is feeding off what you're eating. Mm-hmm. And my brain has been Taco Bell for 10 years.
They call this McDonald's and Dr. Pepper.
They call this your second brain.
Yes.
It's a direct link.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Link. Your brain.
And they say sugar is more addictive than cocaine. So here we are.
That sugar is the most addictive
thing.
Tell me
about it.
Give me the Dr. Pepper.
That's the most addictive thing.
Yeah.
And that's like the hardest thing to cut.
We should do a cleanse, like a no sugar for like a week.
Listen, Christina Zilber, my friend who owns UA, does that.
Oh, for a week
or for a month?
Oh, she has like weeks to 2 weeks and she's always incorporated them in her life. And I'm just like, I watch her. She like gives a breakdown. It's so interesting.
But honestly, imagine how hard that would be.
The withdrawals you're going to have is real.
Well, because she's done it for so long. She has all her gear ready, all her groceries. Like she knows what she can eat. But for someone getting into it, which I was talking to another larger influencer, I won't say who, not that it matters, but just for their privacy.
Yeah.
They went cold turkey, no sugar for a week and almost got a fever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, was sick in That's the bed.
Wild. Like, you get sick was from it. Sick, got Your body sick. Needs, like, it needs it.
Like, got achy, sick, feverish from taking, like, cold turkey, taking sugar out after just having a normal amount of sugar her whole life.
It was, like, detoxing in a way.
Yes,
like,
it was a detox.
I feel like in your 20s, you think that you're invincible.
Yeah. And you think you're going to look the way you look forever.
Yeah. Honey. And, like, it catches up with you, whether you see it happening to your body or not. Like, it definitely is going to... Your habits is what catches up to you.
Habit.
If you develop bad habits in your 20s, it's going to be so hard to kick those habits in your late 20s and early 30s.
Baby.
So hard. And I know, like, we're... It's easy for us to speak because we don't have normal 9-to-5 jobs. Like, because I worked at Amazon before helping Laura full time with everything. And I ate so bad and it was so hard to keep a good diet. Like,
and to work out when you worked. Yeah, like,
and to work out. It was such a hard thing. And I was on my feet all day. So I knew I burned so many calories, but I was still gaining weight because I wasn't working out and I wasn't eating great. Mm-hmm. So, like, those are things that, regardless of, like, if you're working those 40, 50 hour a week shifts, like, you have to make those changes. Like,
yeah.
You have to. Incorporate them in your lifestyle.
Yes, exactly. Like, and they say that, like, what, diet's 90% of your physical overall.
It is.
And so I think that what's important too, like, let's say if you, it's implementing small things that can make a huge difference that you can start in your 20s. It's like implementing, like, let's say if you cook, instead of you, like, you know what, I'm so busy, I can't cook 3 meals a day. There's no way. Maybe if you cook one.
Right. Yeah,
and then it can start. Maybe
start
you can
small.
Cook two, and
I promise
start later
you,
on.
That's better than not doing it all. And that goes with working out as well.
Yes.
Like, if
I
get a lot of questions in my DMs because I've been showing, like, little clips. I'm self conscious about showing me working out, but I show clips of me doing it because I do want my audience to know, like, that I am working out.
And you're trying.
I'm trying here. And so I get a lot of DMs that are like, how are you staying motivated? Like, I can't get up and work out. But because I've been there and, like, and I'm not a fitness queen, you're preaching to the choir here. But let me tell you something that, like, it's like resonated with me. If I can go on a walk for 10 minutes,
it's better than nothing.
It is better than doing nothing. Yeah. But let me tell you what happens. Every time I'm like, okay, I'm just going to walk on a treadmill for 10 minutes. I'm not even going to break a sweat. It
turns into 20.
It turns to an hour. Yeah. Like, same, you know, because I'm like, I'm there.
You're in the mode.
I got up. You're in the mode. And motivation.
You get the runner's high.
Motivation doesn't just come out of clear air and you're like, oh, I'm motivated to do it. Motivation comes from moving and doing.
Right.
Starting.
Like,
that's where you get the motivation.
When you started, then you're like, oh, okay,
that's the motivation.
All right, I can do this.
Motivation has such a, it's like.
A huge part of it.
And it's like used incorrectly. Motivate. You don't just get motivation.
Yeah.
You got to get into work and then you start getting motivated. You got to get to moving first, and that's where motivation comes from. It does not come out of the clear blue sky. So my encouragement to you, if you can just do like a drop down to the ground, do a couple push-ups, you know, before you go to bed at night, do a couple squats, you're going to be wanting more and more and more.
Exactly.
Because you start to see differences, you guys. And, like, honestly, motivational, like, something that is motivational for me was when I started to see, like, subtle differences in my own body. And I was
that takes
like,
a while, especially for you yourself to see it in the mirror.
Yes.
They say, like, people who you haven't seen in a while, they'll
notice
the results
it.
First. Mm-hmm. People you see every day, then they'll see the results. Mm-hmm. And then you're the last to see the results.
Absolutely.
You see yourself in the mirror every single day.
Absolutely. And I know, man, I'm my own worst critic. I
totally
get it. I'm the worst. We all are, you know? And I think that's if you incorporate those little things here and there, extra walking in some way.
Yeah.
Incorporate walking to, like, maybe, like, walking to your mailbox and, like, just, like, little things like that, walking around your neighborhood once. Like, if you just do, like, little small things, it will improve your life overall.
It will. Yeah.
In some healthy capacity, like I was saying, cooking one meal a day, walking a little bit more here and there, it makes a huge difference. And you guys, I promise you, like, if you start these things in your early 20s, in your 20s, they'll be so much easier to maintain when you're in 30s and beyond.
Yep.
And then if not, you can even, like, go past that. Now, like, I never worked out more than I have in my whole entire life now, but I didn't even work out in my early 20s ever.
Yeah, same.
Not once.
Same.
And I wish I did. And I wish I, like, incorporated those healthier things.
Yeah.
Me too.
Then.
It's all about, like, making it your lifestyle, which I've learned that from my self-help
it is,
books,
it's
guys.
It's
a lifestyle.
My self-help books, you know, if you do it real quick to lose real quick weight, you're probably going to end up back at square one.
Yep.
But if you make a lifestyle change and your mantra is every morning, I'm a healthy person who has a healthy lifestyle, not I'm on a diet right now.
Mm-hmm.
So your mantra can't be I'm on a diet right now. Your mantra needs to be I'm a healthy person who lives a healthier lifestyle, who treats themselves occasionally. You know, whatever is reasonable for your life, make it your mantra not I'm just on a diet this week or I'm just trying to lose, because it's like you end up back at square one.
I will say it gets easier the more you get into it, because like when you first start working out, it's really hard. It then when you continue to work out, you it's almost like a little addiction to it. Because like there's certain days where like I'm like, oh, I'm going to skip the workout, or I can't work out this day. And then like another day passes and I take a day off and I'm like, I don't feel good. I don't feel right. And then I go get a workout. Like I'll even like I'll be cranky, kind of angry, and I'll get a workout in and I'll be like, that's what I was missing.
100%.
Like it was a workout. I just needed a workout and I feel so much better. It's a mood booster.
It like physiologically, it literally boosts your mood. Like you're walking, running, getting that energy out there.
If you guys need to let off some steam,
releasing steam and setting off endorphins, like that's like the perfect recipe for anything for life, like just to be in a happier mood. I will say I got rid of my scale too. Like I don't weigh myself anymore.
That's awesome.
For me, I was like kind of like, I felt like I was kind of like a creature of habit when it came to like, oh, well, how much did I lose now? Or how much did I gain now? Whereas I was like, I think for me, it's more so about like, how tight do my clothes fit? Or how do I feel in this moment? And it wasn't really necessarily about like the scale and losing it.
That's
kind of
how I am as well. I don't weigh myself.
Like, I don't really want to weigh myself anymore.
That's like about making it a lifestyle.
A lifestyle. Yeah. And that was a lifestyle change.
Making it a lifestyle, not just trying to hit this one goal and then you're back, you know?
Yeah, it's a feeling.
Yeah.
It became a feeling for me. And I think that the more you do it, the more it becomes a feeling. It becomes part of like your life and a routine. And the most thing I can say is like literally trying to make it to a routine.
Right.
Yeah.
Making it part of your life. It makes it way easier. And it's not like some like, fuck, I have to go to the gym. Like it's so annoying. It's like, oh, cool. I got to go to the gym. I got to get my like workout in.
Yeah. If you want to get the best sleep of your life, start working out.
Ooh. Oh my God.
A lot of times, like when people don't sleep good, they don't realize. And a lot of this has to do with their job and they can't help it. But you know, they sit at a desk and like, your body, like we're meant to move. Like your body is meant to move. You're meant to burn energy. I mean, that's what keeps us going, keeps us alive. So it's like, if you're not sleeping good, it's because you haven't burnt enough energy. So it will also give you the best sleep of your life.
Yep.
Working out consistently.
I don't even really need a nap as much as I used to because I'm working out. Like it gives me enough energy during the day. And at night, I'm like really tired. Because I'm like, okay, cool. Like I was able to do what I needed to do.
Yeah.
Well, guys,
that's kind of
your 20s.
Wow.
That's like literally surviving your 20s, how to thrive
in your
30s.
Brought to you by the Fool Fam.
We want you guys to be the best you as you can be.
Calls GPS's GPS.
Yeah, GPS.
So in about, we'll say like 8 to 9 years, we'll do this video again for surviving your 30s.
Right? All right.
Yep. Because it'll be, I'm sure it'll be quite different in comparison.
So far, my 30s have been the most peaceful, happiest time that I've ever been alive.
I've only been in my 30s for 2 years, and it's also been
it's been
the best so far.
So peaceful and happy.
Yeah, I've been for
happy.
About 24 months, and yeah.
So so 2 years.
Fucking idiot. It's like people being like, yeah, my kid's 39 months old.
I'm like, your kid's 10.
He's 3.
I don't know how fuck you mean. Stop saying that.
He's 3.
Oh, my God.
And
I, you know, I had this thought of, like, what I would be in my 30s when I was younger, and 30s was an old ass man.
100% agreed.
And I'm probably in the best shape of my life.
But I know I am for a fact.
Society, that was a societal thing that was laid on you. Yep. Society has changed. Like people don't even have kids till they're in their 30s anymore.
I know.
Like society has like changed that image on ageism a bit. Now it still goes on, but I would say it's changed drastically. Yeah. Like
I'm so excited for my 30s.
Me too. I'm actually very like, I'm very happy.
Yeah.
Like, I would have never thought I'd be here. Cause like at the end of the day, even though I'm getting older, you're really as old as you feel. Like you're really as old as you think you are. Like I don't feel like I'm like a 31-year-old. Like I'm just a 31-year-old. Like I'm just living.
Right. Sliving.
You know, I'm just sliving. And that's just like what it is. I'm not like dreading getting older. I'm just kind of like, okay, well, how can I be happier in the older years I get? You know, how do I maintain my happiness?
It's almost
now?
Like every decade you kind of have to relearn who you are as well and like what you enjoy, because you're not going to enjoy the same thing in your 20s that you are going to enjoy in your 30s. So it's a constant.
Well, that is our information we had to share. We hope some of it was insightful. You guys like literally leave comments down below on like what you've learned from your stage in life. We're all at different stages of life, but let's hear maybe something that you've learned, and that, you know, a lot of people read comments, including us. So like that information goes out there.
I love reading your guys' comments, especially about like things like this, where it's like, these are things I learned. And a lot of times,
I feel like I get to know you guys.
Me too. And I feel like a lot of times, like, I couldn't agree more with what they said.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like,
oh,
yeah. Yes, I completely
agree. They
bring
up good points.
Great, great, great points. You guys bring up fantastic points. The full fam knows what the fuck is up, literally.
Always. We love you guys, and we'll see you in our next episode.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Manny, you know how we're always looking out for the perfect drink, whether it's a cocktail or mocktail? I have two words for you. Taste salud.
Oh my God, Laura, are we telling our listeners our secret? Find this soon?
Yes, we can't gatekeep any longer. Mm-mm. Okay, guys, picture this. The convenience of an on-the-go mocktail drink mix that's just waiting for a splash of tequila to turn it into a delicious cocktail.
That sounds like our kind of party. You know, obviously mocktails for me and cocktails for you.
Isn't the taste shocking? Their Paloma and Strawberry Margarita mocktails taste just like the real deal.
So the gag is, not only is the taste amazing, what about the fact that the calories? Okay, let's talk about the calories. Salud drinks mixes only have 1 gram of sugar and take the thinking out of the decision making. We're so done drinking our calories in 2024.
Yes, we are. Also, the thought of everything, taste, convenience, and all the added benefits like hydration, immunity, and your cocktail.
It's a serious, serious game changer. So whether it's a cocktail with a kick or a mocktail that tastes like a dream for us sober dolls, Salud has us covered.
They're the absolute best. That's why Manny and me love them. If you're ready to try the best mocktails out there, head to tastesalud.com and use FULL10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Cheers to that, and honestly, cheers to authentic flavors. Let's drink to good taste and good health.
We are so excited to tell you guys all about what is keeping us hydrated and healthy, and that is Taste Salud.
As many of you know, Manny and I love a good glow on the skin, and skincare is great, but hydration starts from within, babes. Salud's Hydration Plus Immunity drink mixes get straight to the root. Get ready to sparkle from the inside out.
They're the ultimate drink mix with a 2-in-1 benefits, 1 gram of sugar only, and authentic agua fresca flavors.
No, because let's talk about it. Hydration and immunity for the healthy glow, low calories, and authentic agua fresca flavors. Are you kidding me?
Baby, you have me at agua frescas. Flavors like jamaica and horchata are nostalgic as hell to me. You know, just takes me right back to when, you know, I was at family functions and, you know, the parties in the backyard. And it just really makes me feel good drinking them, to be quite honest. And I can constantly drink them without worrying about too much sugar, which is lovely.
I personally love their clean ingredients. They're also vegan and gluten-free. They're so yummy and easy to incorporate into your daily water. So if you're ready to hydrate your body inside and out.
So if you're ready to relive nostalgic moments.
Head to tastesalud.com and use code FULL10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Taste the goodness, embrace the nostalgia, and cheers to health, babes.